On this episode of ITAV, we take a look at the backup and recovery of the interwebs. What happens if your website is compromised or, God forbid, completely deleted? All that and more. Next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 29, recorded Monday, April 29th, 2019. Levels of storage.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by Kramer, AV Beyond the Box.
This is the ITAV show. Let me look at the IT industry and the AV industry and how they come together. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. With me this month to discuss all things ITAV. Couple internet things, my buddy and pal, and member of the AV Nation Board, Mr. Bradford Ben. Welcome, sir.
Great to be here, Tim. Thanks for having me. I guess, of course, I should do the disclaimer now. I don't speak for my employer. I do, however, speak for Tim. My opinion is my opinion and my opinion only. I don't speak for my wife, don't speak for my friends, don't speak for my enemies, and definitely don't speak for my current or former employers. Any questions, email Tim at avnation.tv. So now that we got the disclaimer out of the way.
Yeah. So last month, it was an interesting episode. If you didn't catch it, go back and check out last month's episode. But we had a conversation with our friend Michael Drainer, who does some of our internal IT stuff. Michael helps us with our backup plan. He set up the server that we edit to and you know, store all of our information. And Bradford actually gave Michael props, not me. I didn't set up the backup plan. But Bradford's a big fan of the 3-2-1 backup, and got us to talking, Bradford and I, about backing up our site. So, you know, AV Nation is, we're a digital platform. We are a digital entity. We don't have magazines, physical magazines to pass out. Our content all lives in the internet, in the inner tubes. So Bradford, how do we protect that?
I don't give you the password.
Besides that.
So for those of you who don't know, that's a facetious comment. Tim's actually gotten much better at the care and feeding of our website. But the backup and care and feeding of our website is a full-time task that I have automated highly. We have a bunch of things going on, and we have a bunch of places we store data for various reasons. So in all of those, I do it in different ways. The first one is once a day, we use WordPress as our back end. It's a good CMS system for us. And we pay for VaultPress. And they back it up once a day on their servers. They also provide us some help if need be, if we start having problems. So they back that up. In addition, I run a script on my Mac at home, which is actually a Mac Mini I've converted to a server, that once a day goes out and downloads the contents of our servers. When I say our servers, is we have multiples. Then in addition to that, just because I'm me, I then also put some of that content into our OneDrive system that we get with our Microsoft Office 365 client. So now stuff is all over the place. It's not in Tim's hands. It's not in my hands. It is in my server because it is physically here. It's also on the AV Nation server. So we have two locations, two different servers. We also have it on the clouds. So that's multiple ways, and we have multiple ways to do it. We also lean heavily on Amazon Web Services, AWS. The reason we use that is they have a couple of different options there. They have Glacier, and they have S3, and they also have a limited redundancy, one that I'm forgetting the name of at the moment. Glacier is a slow, deep storage, and we use that for our longer-term items. Now, before I get into what we put on Glacier and what goes into S3 and what's on our local server, I just want to remind everyone that we're talking about intellectual property. we're talking about ephemeral stuff. You know, if you, you know, if you have a book and you lose the manuscript or you lose the Word file, you can go back in and retype the book. However, for us, if we lose our website, we lose an awful lot of our business. Now, while that hits us very directly, it also hits other companies in ways you don't think about. For example, how often have you gone in and wanted to make contact with the company? You go to their website. If the website's down or the website looks like GeoCities, for those of you who don't know, kids, go ask your parents. You might have a second thought about how you want to store your data or if you want to do business with them. The other thing is if everything's stored on non-paid for storage, you're going to get your money's worth.
Okay, what do you mean by non-paid for storage? Because when we first started AV Nation 8 years ago, our very first site was a pretty simple site, but we've been on AWS since the very beginning, since we set up an S3 account 8 years ago. What free backup services are there?
So it's not necessarily a backup service, but you can get 1 gig with Google Drive. You can get space on Dropbox. You can get all these other locations for file sharing. Well, if they lose your data and you're not paying for them, pretty much they're going to say, well, sucks to be you. Sorry about that. And that has happened to a couple of people. A couple of artists have had that happen to them. So this is one of those things where I say you get your money's worth. And if it's your business, you should be paying for it. If it's just for fun and you lose the file and there's no big deal, well, you lose the file, there's no big deal. So that is an important part of it. And what comes up as part of this is because it's our web presence, I even back up our mail on a daily basis because our mail server has all sorts of important things ranging from contracts to emails to Tim's calendar to my calendar, which is a big empty page. But all that information, as well as all of our correspondence, believe it or not, is on the net. We use Office 365. I still back that up myself because I'm that kind of person. And this is the important thing. As Mr. Drainer said, you have to back it up. You have to pretend that we've had an emergency and you have to recover from that emergency and make sure it works before the problem happens. And luckily or unluckily, we've had that happen a couple of times for various reasons. Sometimes it's been my fault. Sometimes it's been Tim's fault. And sometimes it's been my fault. However, when I've done it, just like before, when Tim said he didn't know that our server got wiped, the same thing happened when I killed the server. I just hit the restore button, went and laid down for a little bit, came back a couple hours later, and it was ready. Which brings me to something I talked about earlier, the levels of storage we want. AV Nation is a small company. It's Tim, me, Mitch, Matt, George, I think that Steve Greenblatt and Don Mead, we have a whole bunch of people, but we're really a small company.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy that we're getting by and actually have 2 employees, but it's still a small company. So we're frugal with our money. And that's one of those things about the storage. Using Glacier storage from Amazon, you pay less for the storage per gig, but it takes longer to recover it.
And costs more to recover as well.
It costs more to recover. And it costs per put and per get. And it's something you actually have to think about as you're working on these things. However, when we decide to do those items, it can become relatively painless. So for instance, I'll use the example of we have a rule set up. Anything that is on Amazon Web Services, the S3 account, that is not a podcast, gets backed up after 1 year and moved to the Glacier account and comes off of the AWS server. The reason is, if it's been a year and we don't need it, it's time for it to move. And the rules within Amazon, we can set it up to work that way. Now our price drops from 15 some odd cents about per gig to 1 cent a gig. Well, if you have terabytes of data like we do, that savings becomes really important. Now, if we have a whoops, getting that data back takes a lot longer than from the S3 account. The reason is it does it in smaller batches in the background. You can pay for faster uploads from that account, but there is a 4-hour waiting period before your data will start coming down.
At a minimum.
At a minimum.
That's the quickest you can get it.
Yes. So for my 2015 tax returns, that's okay. For our 1997 tax returns, also okay. But that's kind of the decision you make. Now, the one thing I like to point out is, if you notice, none of these are on magnetic media. I have it on my server. That's magnetic media. And yes, I have it in the cloud, and that's magnetic media. But it's not like I'm burning it to a CD that is an optical media that I can't read later or that might degrade. I'm trying to keep it on something that's constantly running. And if you look at the Amazon S3 system and Glacier, one of the things they do is they diversify their storage for us. So it's one of these things where we're going to let the smart people do that. And Tim and I, as the good-looking people, will just host podcasts.
Yes. I want to go back to something you've said a couple times, and that is that we back up everything every 24 hours, right? You mentioned the disparate areas that you back up, but all of those instances, all of those places we back up every 24 hours. Is that simply because of the nature of what we do? We publish between press releases and new podcasts and the daily download. We publish between, let's say, 4 to 5, maybe 6 new pages, new articles a day. Is that why we back up every 24 hours? Or you would do it even if it was for an integrator's website that maybe only updates their content once a week or once a month?
So that depends on how you're doing the backups a little bit. The way I do the backups is I use an archive feature. We use a piece of software called ChronoSync. That's not meant as a plug. I do like the software a whole bunch. It's very affordable. It works well. It's designed for Mac. It does all sorts of cool things. But when a file changes, it archives the old file for 30 days. So the reason I back up every day is, let's say our site gets hacked. Let's say there's a malicious piece of code. Let's say someone injects bad JavaScript. I can go back one day to a piece of clean code and hopefully restore it from that. So that's one of the reasons I do it every 24 hours, is so that if there's a problem, I have a quick way to go back and grab it. There's also the other thing, which is the way I'm doing the backup is it's a differential backup. It's a fancy term meaning I'm only backing up the stuff that changed. So if we have not changed, you know, the little section that says, you know, or the pictures or the podcasts or any of that, I'm not downloading and backing that up again. Yeah. It's still in my Active Directory. It still knows it's there, but I don't have to back it up every time. And there are some rules you can do about what triggers a backup. Is it a checksum? Is it a date difference? All those types of things. I do a difference if it's a checksum difference, which means even if you open and close the file and you hit save with no changes, I'm still going to back it up because the file was changed in some manner. Now, the other thing to think about in all this is I just talked about us getting hacked. Tim, how many emails do you get a day saying that someone's locked out from our site that aren't you?
It seems to be increasing here recently in the last couple of weeks, actually. But on average, I would say I get 2 to 3.
Okay, and this past weekend, we got 15.
We got a lot this past weekend.
It's like my SEO is working. But I also use a service that does the security for us. The reason is they do a lot of that, and they can do it better than I can. It's one of those things that Mr. Drainer talked about, of sometimes it's better to hire the expert and let you worry about doing your work and running your business rather than running your website. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to be worrisome and you don't have to do your best practices, but it also means there are people smarter than us who can do various security tools to make this safer and run scans on your computer and run scans on your website to make sure things are working.
Absolutely. So as we kind of wrap this up, what is something that if somebody is just now getting into this, or they're listening to you and go, oh, okay, I don't do that, I'm in trouble, you know, type thing. What if you were starting out and advising someone, what's their first step? And then what's their second step? In other words, the most crucial step to take immediately if they're not doing any of this.
If they're not doing any of this and they have a website, check with their web host to see if they back it up. If not, get an FTP client and download everything, including an SQL backup if you're running a content management system such as WordPress. And also look at tools that do backups. There are tons of them out there. WordPress, I think at last count, I found 30 of them, and I found one that I like, and that's what we use. But the important thing is find one and use it, and also test it to make sure it works. I'm a nerd. I run virtual servers at home, so that way I can test stuff and make sure it works. Every so often, I restore a backup to one of my virtual servers. Why? It lets me know it's working, and then I can sleep better at night knowing that. So that's the first step. The second step is look at what your risk is. For us at AV Nation, losing our website is a huge risk. That's basically our business. If you're, you know, the only integrator and you do fire and security, that might not be as much of a risk because you're in the phone book and you can put up a simple page that says, hey, sorry, you know, our website's down. Please call us. Here's our email address. And off it goes. So that's the other big thing you can do. The third thing I recommend, and this is scary for people, and I actually have talked with some major manufacturers about this. I have other servers standing by in case there's a problem. And sometimes I just call up and, you know, there are services I can get a website up in under 2 hours and then change the DNS and ignore the old one and deploy a totally new one to recover. And that's one of those things I like to remind people is while you're fixing a problem, it doesn't mean you can't put out a spare. And whether it be a spare email system or a spare website that you've hosted from someplace else, you can have a spare.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Not just the backup, but also, you know, a system to get you up and running at least in the interim while you do fix the issue. So, all right, sir. Any last words of wisdom for folks that are living on the interwebs and you know, making sure that their stuff is secure?
The first thing is do not click phishing emails. I say that because that happens and works more than you think it will. If you're not expecting an email from someone and it comes with an attachment, nope. And also the email that says, hey, I'm from your hosting company, come and look at this. That's usually a perfect chance of, no, that's really not it. Never trust an email that's asking you for your password. Ever. Period. End of sentence. If you do trust an email that's asking you for your password, let me know and I'm going to send you that email and empty your bank account.
don't send it to Bradford. So, all right, sir. Thank you so much. Where do people find you if they are so inclined?
Well, coming soon, I'll be at Infocom because it's in my backyard and I know AV Nation is planning a lot of cool things, including an AV Nation tweet up. So I'll definitely be there in mid-June. You can find me on the interwebs at Bradford Ben on Twitter, bradfordben.com, bradfordben.com, info@bradfordben.prettymuchwhatever. Ninja. You can find me on AV Nation at bradford@avnation. And after that, the Google will be your friend, or just email Tim and he will find me. However, right now, do follow Tim on the Twitters. He's very happy about the St. Louis Blues winning. I'm feeling the world spinning backwards personally when the Blues are doing better than my Devils. So you will find me watching hockey playoffs for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. They're 1-1 currently. But as we're recording this, they're playing the Dallas Stars. And got a very nice email from a mutual friend of ours who works for Atlas IED, who's rooting against us. So Atlas has an office in the Dallas Fort Worth area. So
yeah, I know who that is, and I'll get him back.
All right, but yeah, Brad, don't follow me, but go by the website. Bradford and a lot of people have spent an awful lot of time on it. Avnation.tv. That's Avnation.tv. You will find this program and a host of others. While you're there, please check out our supporters section. These are the folks who help us financially, help us bring you ITAV, AV Week, Resi Week, and in about a month's time, all the coverage for PeopleCon 2019 in Bradford's backyard in Orlando, Florida. All that and more at avnation.tv, avnation.tv. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. That's all the time we have for ITAV.